Hello once again. This is day four of Data School Diaries stories. I can't remember what was the one we decided on last time. It's been another jam-packed day, slightly longer than the usual, I guess, if the usual is for the past 3 days. It was a good day overall. I think it was because there was a good mix between doing some lab work and then doing some theory. And I guess it also helped for me that the theory that we were dealing with is basically was about research data management, open science, and data management plans. I was very engaged with it, even though it was something that I guess I should know a little bit about, having worked at DLS for the past 4 months. But to hear somebody else present it and to pick up from them of how they go about it and how they try to explain such a dense topic just gave me a lot of ideas to kind of work with for the future. So the guy who presented it, once again, we have a strong University of Edinburgh connection here. So the workshop was presented by Venkataraman Shanmugasundaram, or Venkat for short, as he preferred to be called. Very strong presentation. I particularly enjoy the fact that he didn't overcrowd his slides with so much information. He had somehow found a way to put out the most important topics without overcrowding it with either logos or references or a whole bunch of other information. It was just enough to kind of follow along and for him to teach us. He was trying to cover research data management. He talked about the research data lifecycle. He approached it quite kind of holistically. He didn't go into too many details. He looked at the different stages of the research, and his final call was leading it towards open science and fair data, which was another big topic that we dealt with. There was one particular slide that I enjoyed a lot, which explains the difference between managed data, fair data, and open science, and also what he called the wild, which is all the other data that sits out there. And I just thought it was like a great visual representation of the world that data stewards and data managers live in terms of organizing it, but also a good way to explain to people about what we are working towards and why we exist. So he basically managed to cover in the space of about 3-4 hours in the morning everything from metadata, reproducibility, storage, the difference between backup and preservation, licensing, personal permanent identifiers. He had some pretty good examples of different projects about the power of reusing data. And I think what it really helped me understand was what we are presenting is on track with what's being presented around the world. There's there are a few slides where I'm like, okay, we've used that image or we've had a similar slide like this. So it just feels that what we're doing within UCT is right on point. We are really matching what is being presented out there. But this thing of trying to like quite, it's not about being broad or about being too simple, but just kind of being very selective of what to give and trying to not confuse people with jargon as much as possible. There were actually three different activities that we were involved in. Two were in groups and one was slightly individual, semi kind of both. And it involved about, it gave us a case study of a certain researcher who I think is working in bioinformatics was the field. And actually it was microscope biology. They have going to have a data set of pictures of over 100 gigabytes or what are some of the issues that they need to look out for in their research data management cycle, which touched upon everything from a little bit about the ethics of whether the things being captured are human or not, what kind of licenses to give. And it was just kind of a very good experiment for people to kind of implement perhaps a research data management or a data management plan. And then the follow-up activity gave us an example of a pretty solid data management plan that was given, interacting with it in terms of trying to figure out what kind of data from there should be preserved. It was a really good example. It was about geology and climate change and weather. And that's one of the standard DMP example that's given on the websites of the DCC, which is Data Curation Center, which is a place that he works for. And then we also had some time to look at the principles of fair data and amongst ourselves discuss whether the data that we are planning to publish or whether the data that we are reusing as researchers subscribes to fair principles. And it was interesting because in one of the exercises, they had split us up so that the five data stewards were separated so that we got to hang out with the actual researchers and to see how people from different parts of the world, their understanding is of the data, the fair principles and open science and research data management. And it brought a lot of kind of, it brought me back to a familiar place of having to kind of be in an environment with other researchers who are also trying to get their head wrapped around this topic. And in the same way, it was useful to spend some time, learned more about imagery in terms of microscopic imagery and the different formats that they have. Because we were dealing with climate change, we had a lady, Charlene from Benin, who works in climate change, who was able to explain to us how this particular project that the DMP was based on, how it works. And it just kind of refed my curiosity about learning about how different researchers worked on their data and how they get it. The afternoon session was a lot more hands-on, and it was quite a bit of, it was quite a bit of fun. It involved using RStudio to do some what's called Markdown. So Markdown is a way of typing in text to be more machine editable and formattable. And for me, this is particularly fascinating because trying to organize written text and narrative into something that's more structured and formatted that can be identified by certain tags, just because a lot of text ends up being repeated and copied and pasted and you lose the formatting. So the example that, and this was presented once again by Gail Clement, who had presented to us, I believe, 2 days ago around creating your ORCID ID. In fact, it was on the first day. So today she followed it up and followed up her author carpentry series in using R Markdown to basically publish things on the web. She was quite organized. She had lots of passion. She commanded the room quite well. She dealt with everybody's topics. And I think because we had just spent some time with R, we were a bit more comfortable with the interface, even though this time we weren't really doing any computational work as much as more formatting work. And we're still working on GitHub and Git to be able to upload things. So we even created a little web page at the end based on the DMP that we were using in the morning session, learning how to format, learning how to insert formulas from R, not just formulas, but data and plots, learning how to add citations and references. And you get such nice, clean design from without having had to do any like point and clicking. It's more just letting the computer program it. Also very useful, and I think the end goal is that at some point we will have, we're hoping to have live journal publications, which are kind of updatable through computers, as opposed to just being kind of something that's on printed matter. So even though we can go online now and get a journal article, it's just static text. Here we're talking about adding formulas, adding code that you put up that people can see or unsee, that if you have certain data, you as the reader can adjust certain variables to see the data in another context. And this is something like an e-live version of a journal that would be a future hope to kind of establish. But it's quite close with things like Jupyter Notebooks and this R Markdown, which is allowing you to format text in a predefined computer way, as opposed to kind of doing the thing by yourself in a Word document. And I think for me, it was just trying to figure out if this was a way forward with the DLS quick guides that we want to do, so that we have a depository that can update these guides very quickly without necessarily having to download it, upload it again, and keep changing the formatting. So that was incredibly useful because I think it's something I can put into practice almost immediately. She also gave a lot of good resources on using R Markdown, and she gave us a copy of her The Game of Responsible Authorship and Publishing, which I think she's going to continue throughout the week. So overall, a very strong presentation. I mean, we even managed to add licenses to our work at the end by publishing it. So just overall, something that I could really focus on and get a lot out of doing it. And then as a bonus towards the end, we had a talk that was brought to us through Zoom, so like an online Skype call, by Andy Nobes, who is working for an organization called INAS. One of the things they run is a website called AuthorAid, and that is, the purpose of their website is to help researchers from what they call lower and middle income countries get ahead in the publishing game. So everything providing online classes, tutoring, guidance, resources, for writing research proposals to publishing as well. The topic of his presentation was around predatory journals. What was particularly useful was how he presented the scope and the landscape of how journals work and the different pathways to publishing, from going the green route to the gold route to open access and how it fits within it to the subscription model. He took us and gave us examples because the real aim was, and I know I've often had emails come to me saying, oh, we see you have an article here. Would you like to publish with our journal? We are accredited, blah, blah, blah. And I guess you, when somebody sends you such nice things over email, you immediately don't trust it, that they desperately want your article. But how there are people who are making money out of publishing, in quotes, in order to basically prey on those who really want to get their work out there. He had mentioned a talk about the impact factor and the site score. He looked a little bit at the different journal platforms and all the different databases where you can access. The one thing that he mentioned that I wasn't aware of is something called Cielo, which is a network of open access journals that started off in South America, but apparently there's also a South African chapter, which is putting together a lot of South African journals which allow you to publish online for free, even though it's peer-reviewed. Basically, I think it's journals who have subscribed to this. I think it's a useful model to explore, even though it's not directly within my particular line of work, but it did help to get an understanding of that, because I guess whatever we're doing has an impact or feeds into other aspects of publication, and it helps when we talk to researchers that we are more aware of a fuller landscape than others. So overall, lots of useful information and resources, lots of positive reinforcement in terms of looking at open science and how RDM is presented, lots of practical skills that were picked up. So this so far has felt like the most substantial day and the most productive one. Tomorrow, I believe there's some kind of dramatic interpretation of Creative Commons licenses, which I'm, as a drama person, particularly curious about, but also because I know that back at DLS, Patricia has organized somebody from the, I believe it was from SILT, to come and give a commercial license demonstration. So I was hoping, I was sad I was going to miss out on that, but hopefully this one will catch up for it. Right, that's it from day four. On to recharge for day five at the kind of almost midway point of the school.